God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers, has by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. As we all know, God must purge before he can forgive. He must cleanse us before he can receive us. And the absolute must take place with us. And so, when he had by himself purged our sins, thinking particularly of the word himself, there is nothing that anyone can do to us that can measure the extent to which we can harm ourselves. What I do to myself will be far greater. What I allow myself to indulge in will be greater than anything you can ever do to me. What we do to ourselves is catastrophic. Some of us, for the entirety of our lives, play the victim. We're always the victim, never the culprit. And it's a very dangerous thing, very dangerous place to be in. Because what we do to ourselves, the outcome of it, is catastrophic. With the Son of God, whenever we read of himself, what he did to himself, what he allowed to happen to himself, is transcendent. And so, as you know, the claims that the Lord Jesus made about himself, the man Jesus, when he claimed, "My Father and I are one," is a magnificent statement. And it is such a challenging issue to us, because all that he claims about himself is the deciding issue of everything. It's not, as the mere theologian argues, did Jesus Christ exist, is trite. There's more proof that Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, walked the streets of Galilee, Jerusalem. There's more proof of that than there is that Julius Caesar existed. It's factual. That's not the issue. The issue is what he claimed to be. What he said about himself is transcendent. And what he did to himself is magnificent. And what he did with himself on my behalf, and when he had by himself purged my sins. We've heard this morning he was raised by the power of God and seated at God's right hand, exalted, and will soon come forth. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But as I think of all the claims that he made relative to himself, it should humble me. And it does for those who believe in him. When he had by himself purged our sin, he must cleanse me first. Purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The result of Adam's sin brought in death, separation from God, spiritual separation, physical separation, and then ultimately eternal separation. The sentence upon me as a sinner was enormous, and I could not pay the price. It cannot be cancelled. It cannot be overlooked. It cannot be treated as irrelevant. The issue upon me is death, separation from God. The debt is enormous. The debt cannot be excused. It cannot be treated with anything less than what it is. God has been offended by us. And the debt must be paid. It cannot be excused. It must be paid. You remember that in those old tax receipts that have been found in history, written across them has been written in the language of the day, paid in full. It must be paid in full. And it was. It was not excused. It was not overlooked. It was paid in full. It is finished. All accomplished. Nothing more to be said. Nothing more to be added. Nothing more need be done. Paid in full. When he had paid in full, the debt was met. I was thinking, as an end of the hymns that we sang this morning, full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a saviour. Full atonement, nothing more to pay. And the reason being that it was the person who did the work, the eternal Son of God, has paid full price for our redemption. And so Adam is completed, completely to be finished. Now it must be the end of that willful life of Adam. Must be ended. There must be identification in what he has done, that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. But what I was thinking about was when the walls shook, and Paul and Silas were in prison, and then the shackles that held them were set free, and that jailer was sure that he was finished, because the prisoners would flee. And Paul says one word: do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. Now remembering, nothing you can do to me can harm me as much as I can harm myself. It doesn't matter what you say about me. It doesn't matter what act of malice, the deep feelings of dislike in the heart. No matter what people can do to others, those things are never to be measured as to the extent that we harm ourselves. And so God's salvation is simply believe, change your mind to God. For in the greatness of that, you have done something to God and to yourself that will bring me into the place of eternal blessing. You remember, and particularly when we turn to all of the readings in Philippians, you remember what Paul says of the descent of the Lord Jesus. Because when he, as the sinless man, moved among men, there were many opinions, and they had many wrong ideas about him. And so they would say to him, show yourself to the world. And he knew what they were saying, but he did not consider himself. And we're told in Philippians 2 all the things that he did to himself. You remember, even in Luke 4, where he is being tested by Satan, and cast thyself down. But what will he do? He'll empty himself. He emptied himself. And then his own family, his flesh and blood, his kin, will say, spare yourself. You're serving far too much. But what will he do? He will humble himself even further. Himself. It was all that he did to himself and through himself, because by himself he purged our sins. It was the transcendently magnificent life of unbroken fellowship with God, holy, sinless, spotless, that marked him at every step of his way. When they came to him and said, pity yourself, preserve yourself, for yourself, preserve yourself, what did he do but offered himself a sacrifice unto God? So contrary to the normal life of Adam. The baseline of Adam is the first law of human nature is self-preservation. But he would offer himself. He would deliver himself up for me and for you. But look what we do to ourselves. Because the greatest harm we can cause to ourselves is to consider that the things we need to do to ourselves are of most importance. But then when when we have learned by that look of faith to the Lord Jesus that he spared not himself, he emptied himself, he humbled himself, to that degree we are lifted above ourselves and we see, and then we begin to practice, nothing that you can do to me is of consequence, because we learn that this life, this transcendent life that he has given to us, is the very water of life that lifts us up to God. And so they is the person that we need to believe in, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that we now have eternal life through him. And this life lifts us, because there was never such a caring, lifting, loving friend as is our Saviour. So Paul said to the Philippian sailor, the Philippian jailer, he said, do no harm to yourself. And then the outcome was, what must I do to be saved? He cries. Paul says to him, believe not on the work of Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. What a wonderful day it was when by faith we believed on him, we trusted him, and we learned that all that he did to himself, he did it for us, himself, who by himself purged our sins, cleansed us with his precious blood, shed that. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we are thankful again this morning that we can show forth his death until he come again. We thank you on this first day of the week. That is our privilege and our joy. We thank thee, our God, that he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Remember that as the eternal Son, he could not do that. But in that sinless body, the vehicle of redemption, he bore in himself, in his own body on the cross, our sins. We thank thee, our God, for the heart of God manifested to us. We thank thee, our God, that that is the message that continues in thy grace and goodness to go into all the world. We thank thee, our God, as we think of this morning and consider once again of all the claims he made relative to himself, every one of them established, that we have indeed the eternal Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, our Saviour, exalted to God's right hand. We thank thee, our God, for our worship, our remembrance, and the opportunity collectively as sons of God, in conscious sonship, to show forth his death until he come again. We thank thee that in that death, in that shed blood, we are forgiven. We're brought into conscious relationship as sons of God, able to worship and show forth his death until he do come. We thank thee, our God. We worship and we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.